This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
A lot going on in the Umpqua Valley. We're going to talk about some legislative things with State Representative Virgil Osborne. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
So, first of all, give us kind of an update. We know the ballots got turned in regarding the gas tax increase. Where's all that at?
Yeah, that's an interesting story, and there's lots to talk about that. So we did get the signatures, and technically we had the 78,000 that we needed by the 10th day, or maybe even just a little before that. We didn't have everything turned in yet, but probably a little before that. And amazingly, that actually caught the governor off guard. Our minority party leader was having a conversation with her about some other stuff, and she just made the comment to the governor, and this was on about day 10 after the collection started, that it looks like we have the signatures. The governor literally was taken back. She had no idea. I truly believe she didn't think that the signatures gathering, we were shooting for 120,000, 100,000 actually would have got us there, and she didn't think we could get it, and I think we've far exceeded 200,000. There's another batch that hadn't even been turned in yet, so it's definitely now the ball's back in their court. Being the majority party, they're going to have to make a decision on what they want to do next.
Yeah, you know, we talked to the chief petitioner leading that effort a couple different times, maybe three, and it was fascinating to watch because it seemed really a historic proportion to get that many signatures that quick on something that didn't involve any, you know, paid organizational petition, you know, professionals.
Yeah, it was really a nonpartisan issue, and that's part of the great thing that happened there was that Representative Deal, of course, was spearheading it with lots of help from other folks. But nobody wants to pay more taxes, and frankly, that is a tax that's not necessary. There is plenty of money in the general funds, plenty of money in emergency funds to handle all of the needs of ODOT, and they just are asking for more, and they're trying to spend it in things that really are unnecessary. If ODOT stays on its mission and does the job ODOT is supposed to do with accountability, there is no need to pass any kind of a tax to just pump up the funds. So, yeah.
Were you surprised at all, though, to see just how fast this went?
No, not really. I expected it to go really quick. Representative Deal and the Oregon Freedom Coalition, which I'm part of as well, put together such a neat layout of captains in different districts and people to collect signatures. I don't know that we didn't have the signatures within 5 days. I mean, they just had to all come in. So, I mean, it happened really fast. But what's going to be really interesting is how they're going to handle it, because now they have to make a decision. So they have really a few options. They can repeal it altogether, which I suspect might be in the works from some of the rumors I've heard. They can let the thing go to November, which is what it technically constitutionally has to do unless they make some other decision, which they don't want that tied around their necks for their campaigns, because every Democrat that voted yes on this, which is all of them, will end up having to deal with that when it comes campaign time, which is technically now. So that's an option. Or they could also go back in. The legislature has a constitutionality right to change the date on when it's voted on, so they could pull a special election sometime, you know, before the May primary, even if they want, and make it where it kind of makes it go away. It's going to get voted down, I'm sure. So my bet would be they'll repeal it, try to modify it, and hopefully come back to the table and speak to both sides of the aisle.
Do you feel like there's any potential for this to be kind of a big snag in the short session?
Oh, it will be, for sure. They're gonna have to make some kind of a move in the short session, and that starts in February. I think February 2nd, actually, is when it starts, goes through March. So there is lots of stuff going on, and they've got to do something. It really is back in their court. And right now, the Democrat Party is looking really bad because they passed some really, really bad bills that people don't like.
And what kind of response were you getting as the signatures were being gathered from people outside the GOP?
Well, we had a lot of folks that are, you know, they kind of call themselves independents or Democrats and other parties that came in, not just, you know, to the places where we had the petitions out, but also into the GOP headquarters, and they switched parties. I mean, we picked up a lot of folks that switched over to the Republican Party, and I don't know that I ever heard a single person, at least that I spoke to, that was for this tax. I know there were some out there that were, but I also believe that the people that were for the tax didn't really understand what the process and why the tax was put in place. They were just, you know, trying to be partisan about it.
So do you feel like there's going to be any potential for making adjustments to ODOT's budget in the short session?
Yeah, I think there will be. I don't think that's necessary either. I mean, the state has record funds right now. I mean, even though we're losing jobs like they're going out of style, we've lost over, I don't even remember the number now, 11,000 jobs. There really doesn't need to be any adjustment, but I believe they'll try to do something token. The governor, she has to do something because right now, like I said, the ball's in her court. If she does nothing, she looks really bad, but we'll see.
Now, let's talk about that short session. What are some of your plans for it?
So I have a couple bills. I have a bill that is actually kind of neat. It allows and makes, it doesn't necessarily make it mandatory, but allows the local authorities to map schools. So in the event that you have a school shooting or some sort of an emergency in a school, they will have already had a mapping program put in place that they can, you know, they'll know where the rooms are. They'll know. And I don't know if you've ever been to Roseburg High. I mean, I went to Douglas High, but when I go to Roseburg High now for events, I can't find my way around. I just don't know the buildings that well. So this would create a way for local authorities to be able to do that work in every school. That's one of my bills. Another bill is one I somewhat inherited from Representative Scarlatos, and that's a K-truck bill that allows those trucks to be used on the highway. We're only allowed two bills apiece, so I agreed to carry that bill, and it's unfortunate. I probably could have carried a few more, but that's where we're at.
Let me go back to the school thing. Why do you have to have legislation to be able to for the school mapping?
You know, that's an interesting question. So there's a lot that goes into that, and part of it is that certain people, they don't want to have access, you know, and schools are public, right? And there are people that they don't want to have access to that mapping in the event that somebody was planning some sort of a terrorist attack or a school shooting or something, and they actually had the school map themselves, that would create a problem. I don't know all the intricacies about it yet. I just picked up the bill from Kevin Campbell. He's one of the lobbyists that lobbies and is supported by almost all the police agencies in the state, and it's something that they're pushing for, and I have to go kind of get a little bit more in depth with it ledge days. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, it's interesting. It makes a lot of sense with the technology that's out there now. There's so many things that you can access. I hear things on the police scanner. It's real obvious that there's a lot of information out there that's restricted to law enforcement, but it is out there. And so when you have a potential, at least, situation at a school, that seems to put people miles ahead, especially if the law enforcement response is going to involve people from further around the county who may not be particularly as familiar with a potential school if it's maybe 15, 20 miles away from where they are.
Yeah, it's a really important thing. You know, you can isolate a suspect in a certain area of the school, and everybody knows if you can look at a map of the school, you know exactly where that area is, which gives law enforcement a little bit of an advantage. I wouldn't say an advantage. It gives law enforcement the ability to take down the suspect if necessary. And that's just one scenario. There's lots of different scenarios that could be used for. And it's just something that hasn't ever been asked for in this state before. So I think it'll be a neat thing. Now, I will go back to the 23 session where we asked the legislature to pay for the state to pay for metal detectors. And we also, in every school, we also asked the state to put a security officer in every school as well. And the Democrats voted all that down. So that never happened.
Now, let's come back to the K-trucks, because I'm not as familiar with what those actually are.
Yeah, it's a downsized truck, and they use them for, you see them at golf courses, and you see them, I think the city of Roseburg probably has some, you see them running around. It's just like a two-seater little pickup that it's a real small motor in it, and it's just a little bit bigger than a golf cart, and it's just one of those things in the state that gets used all over the state, and they technically can't, they're technically technically not street legal, and there's really no reason for them not to be because they have all of the turn signals and everything else they need to be street legal. So that was a bill, again, not a bill I was pushing, but a bill that I was asked to carry, and I'm happy to do that.
All right, back with more in a moment. State Representative Bird Control Osborne, the interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock. State Representative Virgil Osborne talking about the upcoming session of the Oregon State Legislature. Now, this short session, especially in recent years, has been interesting. I mean, originally the idea was your basic budget adjustments and things like that, but it seems like both sides really are trying to cram a lot more into a very limited period of time.
Yeah, they do, and I think what you'll see is the Republican side of the aisle. We'll try to get anything we can at least in front of them for public hearings to try to make some traction on some of our bills. Unfortunately, you are correct. The short session was always intended to be a time that was a short session that was meant to adjust budgets and go back and look at laws that were passed that maybe needed some modification done to them, adding amendments or whatever may be the case. That's not what is being used for anymore. What they use for now is they'll push a lot of committee bills. So you'll see some bills that are going to be really bad for the state again. And we're only allowed two bills apiece, but the committees are not limited. So what happens is the majority party goes to the committees and they say, well, we want these five things. And so it becomes a committee bill, even though the minority party doesn't necessarily agree to it. It ends up going through as a committee bill anyway. So it's going to be an interesting short session. This will be my second one. So it'll be interesting.
Now, do you have any committee assignments that change during this session?
No, I'm still the vice chair on consumer protection, and I am also still on the Climate, Energy, and Environment Committee, which is one of the ones that everybody should be watching because there's some scary stuff going on there. And then I'm also on the Labor Committee as well. So no, my committees have all stayed the same.
So when you say scary stuff, what do you mean?
Well, we have a lot of legislation coming down the pipe that's going to try to push, what's happening with the Trump administration. You know, they basically have gone out on and said, we're not going to continue this nonsense with the electric cars, and we're not going to force people into doing this and do that. Well, the state's doubling down on this, and that's, our governor, frankly, Governor Kotek, is doubling down on all the legislation, as well as the Democrats are piling on, too. They're going to try to pass more and more bills that make green energy mandatory in the state. So watch out for that. It's coming.
So what are some of the things you've been working on? Legislative days, did that already happen this month?
It did, yeah. We had legislative days. It was some interesting stuff. A lot of stuff geared toward environmental, trying to find ways to make us all more, prone to losing money. I don't know. It's like the economy's kind of gone south on this. I actually just had a meeting on Friday with a marijuana manufacturer, which is not manufacturing marijuana itself, but they actually go and put all the product together and then they sell it to the different stores or whatever. But they put it together as, vapes and, gels and whatever may be the case. And it was interesting. They asked me to come and do a tour of their factory, the processing factory, and I did that. And it was very interesting. My stance on marijuana has always been, I'm not a user, but my stance has always been it's a legitimate business in Oregon. It's a business that pays taxes, and they are horribly, horribly overregulated by OLCC. I mean, if you're a manufacturer or processor of marijuana, you have to have cameras on every part of your business for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and OLCC monitors all of that. They come back in and they double check. I mean, there's some crazy laws. So I think they're going to approach the legislature and say, hey, look, can you back off on this thing and let us actually have a chance of, making some money? And the legislature is more than happy to add more taxes onto what they do. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes.
For the GOP next year, talk about candidate recruitment for positions in the legislature.
Yeah, candidate recruitment is part of, I'm on the leadership team, so I'm part of that right now. We have some very good candidates coming up. We have a candidate that's running against Representative Javity, who switched parties. That race is, I think, looking really good. And we also have John Lively is retiring from the Eugene area. And there's a good chance we could pick up a seat there on the Republican side. I think that was a fairly moderate seat anyway. So, and then, of course, Matt Bunch, I think it is, has come in to replace Representative Drazen, who's now a Senator Drazen. So we're still jockeying around and trying to vet candidates. We also have Ciara Thompson in Portland, which is a plus 24 Democrat district, but she checks all the boxes as a Republican. She checks all the boxes. Number one being the reason she's a Republican is because she was a Democrat, but she's tired of seeing our kids mutilated by the Democrats, right? And doing sex change operations on 15-year-olds or whatever the case may be. So she switched parties, and I think they're going to make up some ground there. We'll see how that goes.
Now, Oregon has really, you know, been slow to shift with some of the changing political winds, which has made it tough for your party to pick up seats. Do you see that, though, realistically being able to change some next year?
I see us holding our strong seats that we have, the conservative districts that we have. I see some districts in play that very well could switch. A lot of it is going to be on the governor. We'll see how she handles this gas tax. If they double down on the gas tax, I think there's going to be some Democrats that lose their seats. Because remember, there were some people that only lost their seats, only won their seats, I should say, by less than 200 votes in a whole district of 100,000 people or whatever the case may be, probably closer to 80,000. But yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting. We could very well pick up. I'd like to see us pick up two seats minimum. I'd love to see us pick up four.
So now that you've been in there for a while, what are some of the things that you've really learned that you probably had no clue on when you went in?
that's an interesting question. Number one is that one person, one vote, right? And, it seems like when you're on the outside looking in, your representative is a bad person because you can't change the laws, you can't change the direction of the state. One person can't do this. It takes a majority party to do it because you've got to have 31 votes in the House to get anything through, 36 if it's a tax bill. And I think that I've learned that as a Republican Party, again, we need to work together. We have got to quit infighting, and we've got to start working together. I know people will say the vote's stolen and vote by mail. We need to clean up our voter rolls. That's the biggest part of what needs to happen to change the state. So we'll see where that goes. I learned something new. Literally every time I step foot in that building, I find out, stuff parliamentary-wise, when I'm on the floor, being the whip, I have a book. I have the Mason's Manual in front of my desk, and I learn different procedures all the time, especially sometimes it catches me by surprise.
So, now, where are we at with all the construction that was going on in the Capitol? Is that still going?
I think it's about 95% done. The Capitol's open for the first time in my history there. I've been there, this will be the end of my third year. You can actually go anywhere in the Capitol. We actually have a Capitol lounge now, which we did not have before. And the rotunda's open, which is beautiful. And downstairs, the basement has shops in it and a restaurant and all kinds of stuff that I've never seen before. So yeah, I would encourage everybody to take a trip to the Capitol and take a look at it. So it's a pretty amazing building.
And any remembrance of what the price tag has been in all this work?
The number that I heard, and it was before my time when they agreed on it, but the number I heard was $750 million to do it, and I don't think that was enough. So I think they've added more to it since then. So it's probably close to $1 billion, would be my guess.
So about a minute left. What are some of the things you're looking forward to legislatively here in the coming days?
Doing less damage. That's what I would like to see. And I'm really looking forward to see how the gas tax thing plays out. And I'm really hoping that we can go into short session and do some good for the state rather than just continue to add taxes and create laws and regulations that agencies are just overpowering our citizens. We really need to get real about our economy.
And when does that short session begin?
February 2nd.
And how many days are you limited to?
35-day session. So we can only damage you guys for 35 days. So hopefully we have a productive 35 days that doesn't do much damage.
State Representative Virgil Osborne, thanks for coming in.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.